I hope the message will be a blessing to you this evening, because it was certainly a blessing to me in preparing it. And there's just one phrase here in all these verses that I'm going to read here in Luke chapter 9, 10 through verse 17, that there's a whole message on it, and God willing, soon I'll preach on it. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately unto a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by companies, by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. I've got my title from my message there in verse 13, where he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. Our Lord Jesus has sent his disciples out. Remember at the beginning of Luke 9, he sent his disciples out, and they went out preaching and healing and preaching the kingdom of God, traveling, healing. And they'd been working very, very hard. And you remember, had heard of the Master and was so perplexed, because he thought that one of the prophets or John the Baptist had been risen from the dead, and hearing of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ was doing. And so he took his disciples aside to rest there in verse 10. He took them aside to rest. And they came to him and started telling him all that they had been doing, all that they had done, how many devils and how much healing and how much preaching. And they were just, I think they were overjoyed and were telling him all the things that they had done. They were so thankful and so blessed by the things that God enabled them to do that they were very encouraged. And they began to tell him all that they had done. And so he took them. He took them aside. And privately into a desert place. Now, in other places it says they took a ship and went across. But I tell you, they got so busy at times, our Master and his disciples did, that they didn't even have time to eat. Look over here in Mark with me, chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. They didn't even have time hardly to eat sometimes. Now, sometimes we may get real, real busy and put off eating till later, but I ain't never been so busy that I ain't gonna stop to eat sometime. But these were so busy here in Mark 8:31. Look what our Savior says here. Well, did I say Mark?
You said Mark.
Well, I'm in the wrong place then. Let me look again. Maybe it's Matthew 8. Let me find it. Just give me a minute. Look down the wrong place. Nope. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what it says. It says they were so busy and were so taken up with the things to do that they did not have even so much time as to take a rest or to eat. And I thought, I'll find it. But he took them aside privately. Back over here in our text, he took them aside privately. And as he took them aside privately, he took them aside to rest. They needed rest. Everybody needs to rest. Got to have a time to rest when you work hard. And I don't know about... I know a lot of preachers, you know, that Henry Mahan says now, said if he knew what he... then, what he knew now, he'd take at least 3 weeks or a month every year and go somewhere and get out and relax from the preaching. Relax from the pressure of it. But Some can do that, some can't. I know Mr. Spurgeon did. He went once a year and he took a month. Martin Lloyd-Jones went once a year and he took a month. But he took his disciples aside privately because they had been very busy. Not even time to eat, just peeling, and people, crowds pressed them everywhere they went. And you know how hard it is to be sociable all the time, to be around a group of people all the time. Well, that's, they were so constantly with so many people around them, so much work to do, so much preaching to do, so much healing to do, and just crowds all the time. So he took them apart. And all of us need to be taken apart and get apart with the Lord privately. Every single one of us as believers need to do this. We need to get aside with our Lord Jesus privately. All of us have a great need to be alone with the Lord. We all need to take time to get alone with Him. And several reasons why we need to meditate on Him. When we hear something, we need to meditate on Him. You know, get your coffee and sit down and meditate on Him. Get your Bible and sit before you read it. Sit down and meditate on Him. Meditate on His goodness. To think about God and His goodness. What David just said, "Oh Lord, according to Your goodness and loving kindness, think on me, remember me." Think about His greatness. How great is the Lord Jesus Christ? How great is God Almighty? How great is He in His power? How great is He in His grace? How great is He in His love? Oh, and to meditate on that. And then to think and to meditate as we sit before Him alone with Him on His great salvation that He accomplished for us. What a salvation that we have. A salvation that we have absolutely nothing to do with. No product of us whatsoever. We didn't think of it, didn't desire it, didn't want it, didn't know anything about it, and still yet He came and brought salvation. Oh, to meditate on that. And oh, to get along with Him, to converse with Him, to talk with Him. Talk with Him. Tell Him about ourselves. Tell Him about our troubles. Tell Him about our heartaches. Tell Him about our fear. That's what they did. They came and told Him all that they had done. That woman who touched the hem of His garment, she told Him all the truth. And oh, to expose ourselves. Talk with Him. Converse with Him. Tell Him ourselves. Tell Him everything that's going on with us. And expose ourselves to Him. Just lay ourselves bare. Expose our fears. Expose our wants. Expose our needs. Expose our desires. Just lay ourselves out. And then come before Him and get along with Him privately to confess some things. I don't know about you, but I have to confess things. I have to confess how weak I am. How little faith I have. I have to confess how weak and wan my love for Him is. I have to confess, beloved, that I don't have the heart for Him that I should have. I have to confess that I don't, not as committed as I should be. Oh, multitudes, not a husband, not a father, not a priest, confess our weaknesses. And then we got always, always, I do, have sins to confess. Pride, self-righteousness, idleness, slothfulness. Oh, sin, 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 sins. So get along with the Lord privately. You know, turn off the television, turn off the radio. Sit down with the Lord. David went, you remember I preached here a couple of years ago where David went in and sat before the Lord. Be a wonderful thing to do. Set before the Lord. Then look what happens now. So he took these men apart to this city, a private place outside of Bethsaida. Desert place. Secluded place. And the people, when they knew it, when they found out where he was, followed him. Now, they went across on a boat. These folks walked all the way around that lake, the Sea of Galilee. And they followed him. That's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do, to follow Him. That's a wonderful thing to do, is to follow Him. And when they knew who He was, when they knew it, they followed Him. And look what he did. This blesses my heart. Oh my. And they followed him. Now he's got a now picture this. Him and his disciples are alone. They're needing rest. They want some privacy. They want some quietness. They want some peace. They don't want no crowds. That's why they're separated. And then all of a sudden, here's this great company of people. They follow him. And you would think the first thing he said, folks, I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be ill-mannered. But we're here to get some rest. We're here to be alone. To have some privacy. You would think that's what he had said. What does he say? And he received him. He received them. He said, he got all these stuff. And there they come. Here comes a big crowd. He no doubt heard them coming a long way off. In fact, you're going to find out there's over 5,000 of them. That's how many people come at this time. 5,000 walked around that lake to find him, to follow him. And here's what he received them. He went out and just welcomed them, received them. Joyfully, I tell you, he did. And then not only did he receive them, he began to preach to them. He began to preach to them of the kingdom of God, of the power of God, of the rule of God. Not about laws and ceremonies and rituals. And what's this? And this is what I love. And you know, he spake unto them, and here's what they were doing. They was there to learn of him. You know where you find rest at? Learning of him. You know where you get rest at? Learning. The more you rest, learn of him, the greater your rest will be. The sweeter your rest will be. And oh, beloved, they were learning of him as he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. And this is the thing that a whole message needs to be preached from this right here. And heal them that had need of healing. Oh, my. I love this verse. I just absolutely love this verse. Heal them who had need of healing. I can find myself right there.
Amen.
You can write down there, he healed Donald Bell that had need of healing. He healed this sinner who had need of healing. Put my name there instead of heal them, heal me. Huh? Oh, who did he heal? Those who received. Who did he heal? Those who had need of him. Who did he learn of him? Those who had a need of him. Those are the ones that found healing. And oh, beloved, what kind of healing did he give them? Well, I don't know what all the healings was, but I know some things we need a healing of. We need a healing of Adam's sin. Oh, we need a healing. We need the old timers called it original sin. Where sin originated from. It originated with one man. And we inherited it from him, and we can trace our lineage back. We're shaping in iniquity and conceived in sin. And oh, beloved, we need healing of Adam's sin. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many were made righteous. We need healing of Adam's sin. And then we need healing of our own sin. All of us have sins, personal sins, besetting sins. Sins that's peculiar to our nature and our constitution. All of us do. Yours might be different than mine. But we got them. We got either it's anger, it's pride, it's impatience, it's negativity, it's grumbling, it's complaining, it's self-righteousness. There's a besetting sin according to our nature, slothfulness, something about our nature that we have that's a besetting sin. And beloved, we need healing of that. And how often do we need healing of it? Every day. And what are you going to do? Lord, I'm coming. I need healing. And oh, beloved, and we confess. And we confess that we have need of healing.
Yes,
oh, don't you all confess that you have need of healing? That's why we come to Him. We had a need. And oh, beloved, and when we read of our Lord's dealing with people in need, and here are these people, He's alone, trying to rest, and this great multitude comes out to Him. But instead of being angry and impatient and hard, whenever people, sinners came around him, we always see his gentleness. We always see his condescension. He doesn't tell them we came here to be alone, but he went out and received them and spake to them. Always sees gentleness. Always see him coming down. You never see him dealing with people according to what they deserve. Never. He received all of them, spake to all of them, and did good to all of them. But there's a serious problem now. Watch what happens. In verse 12, and when the day began to wear away, days, you know, they evidently started out, got there that morning. They labored all day, and it was getting, the day began to wear away. It's getting on up toward the evening, getting time to, for supper time. And when the day began to wear away, the 12 got together, and they went to the Lord Jesus. All 12 of them evidently got together, and they went to the Master. And they said unto him, send the multitude away. Send them away. That they may go into the towns and country, may go to Bethsaida and the country and the farms and villages about and get them something to eat, get them a place to stay. For we're out here in a desert place. There's no places out here. There's nothing out here for them to eat. There's no place out here for them to stay. And it's getting close to evening. It's time you sent these fellows to the house. Send them away. Oh my, but what's what our Master said? But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. They didn't have no food. They probably just took whatever they needed when they went out there. Give ye them to eat. What? What's what they said? And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What? Feed all these people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And we can't feed them. And what's what he went on to say? Except we should go and buy meat for all these people. Only way we're going to be able to feed them. We only got 5 loaves of bread here and 2 little fishes. And if we're going to feed this people, we're going to have to go buy some food. We're going to have to go buy them. So they in a serious problem right here. Here you got over 5,000 people hungry. You got 5 fishes or 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fishes, and these fellows said, send them away. And the Lord Jesus turned around to him and said, instead of sending them away, give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. Oh, they began to reason naturally. We only got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. If we're going to feed them, you're going to have to come up with enough money for us to go buy food for them. And they began to reason naturally, which when you reason naturally, you know all you're doing? Manifesting unbelief. That's all it is. To think natural is unbelief, ain't it? That's all it is. And oh, they began to reason. Down in verse 14 it says, for they were about 5,000 men. And that's men. That's not counting the women and children. Not counting the women and the children. Oh, it's about 5,000. How can we feed so many? These men. You see, these disciples, these 12, they were occupied with circumstances. They were occupied with things they could see. You know, they'd already forgot. They just got through telling the Lord all the things that they'd done. They had themselves had performed miracles. And they'd been with him all day watching him perform miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Saw him heal person after person after person. Now you keep Luke here and go over to John chapter 6 with me just a minute. John chapter 6 and verse 6. Oh my, they were reasoning with circumstances. They'd already forgot that they themselves had performed miracles, that they'd been used to the Lord, what the Lord had been doing all afternoon. Cannot the same Savior that made the body, cannot He feed the body? And then our Lord already preached to him and told him, he said, if my Father feeds the sparrows, not one of them falls to the ground without my Father's knowledge, without my Father knowing. Are ye not worth more than many sparrows? And oh, look what it says here in John 6, in verse 6. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith, and it's the same situation. There's a lad here with which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, Watch this. What are they among so many? Well, if it's left up to me and you, there'd just be five loaves of bread and two fishes. But look back over in our text. What are they among so many? Israel asked this question of Moses when they was in the wilderness. They began to murmur and complain and said, "Oh, I would that we were back in Egypt eating the leeks and the onions." And they asked Moses, says, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Well, he did. Fed them 40 years. Furnished a table every day. Sent them food from heaven. It's called angels' food. Gave them water out of a rock. And everywhere they went for those 40 years, that rock went right with them. Oh my, what matters how many loaves of bread there are? What matters how many fishes there are when the Lord Jesus is there? Huh? And then he says to them, "You give them the eat. You give them to eat." Oh my. Why did he say to them, "Give ye them to eat"? Well, I think there's a couple reasons. One was to not be so quick to shake off the responsibility. Huh? First thing they said to our master was, when he came there in verse 12, he said, they came and said unto him, "Send the multitude away." Send them away. Now the Lord turned around and said, "You give them to eat." You know, they was bad to do this. These men were really bad to do this. Here they said, "Send them away." You remember when that Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord Jesus and kept following, and finally he said, they said to him, said, "Send her away. She troubles us." When blind Bartimaeus began to cry out for the Lord Jesus Christ as he was walking by, you know what they said to him? "Shut up and hold your peace. You're making too much noise." And look over here in Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 15. You know, why did he say, "Give it"? Oh, don't be so quick to shake off your responsibility. They should have said, "Master, we, you know, these people are hungry here. What are we going to do to feed them?" But they said, first thing, instead of saying that to them, they said, "Send them away. Let them go fend for themselves. Let them do the best they can. Let them find their own place to stay. Let them find their own food to eat." Instead of saying, "Master, you're here and all these people are hungry and they're tired and they're weak. They're like sinners. They're empty. They're unable. They don't have no power. They don't have no bread. They don't have no place to go." But you think that's what they said? The first thing they said, "Just send them away." In verse 15 here, Luke 18, it says, "And they brought unto him also infants." Now these infants here are small, small children. "That he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them." Can you imagine that? Somebody bringing their baby for the Lord Jesus to touch him? To be with him? "Lord, here's my baby. Here's my little girl. Here's my little boy." And somebody said, "Take that baby and get out of here. We ain't got time for babies. We ain't got time for kids. Why are you troubling the master doing this?" But Jesus called them unto him and said, "Suffer. You allow these little children to come unto me, and don't you forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." These old fellas are hard. Now why we so desperately need to be alone with the Master. And oh, beloved, another reason why that he said give you them to eat is to try them. To try. Try their faith. See what they're going to do. See how they're going to react. And oh, they began to make all kinds of excuses, had carnal reasoning. No faith involved at all. And look what he says here now. In verse 14, "For they were about 5,000 men." He said to his disciples, "Make them sit down by 50s in a company." So that's what they done. He gave a command. Go out and make them sit down. Set these people down 50 over here, 50 up there, 50 over there, and here you've got all these, you've got over 5,000 men. So you've got 100 groups of 50 here, 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 and yonder. Group of 50 over here, group of 50 over there. That's two companies of Marines. That's a whole legion, Roman legion. Set them down. And then the kids and the women. They're all these people out here in these groups of 50. They're not sitting down in uniform rows.
No.
No, no. 50 of y'all get on this side. 50 of you get over here. 50 of you get over there. Huh? And oh, this is what's amazing to me. And it says in verse 15, and they did so and made them all sit down. You notice our Lord Jesus didn't rebuke them. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't chide them. He just told them to go make them sit down. Make them sit down. Oh, boy, we don't act. If it had been me in a situation like that, and don't tell how I'd act. But that's why He's the Lord. And that's why we have need of healing. That's why we have need of saving. That's why we have need of being alone with Him. Because we wouldn't act it this way. We'd act it like them. But He acted like He always does. Like the Savior. So gentle, so gracious, so good, so loving. And oh my, make them sit down. And I'm sure they're thinking within themselves, why? There's nothing to feed them with. But our Lord has spoken. God has spoken, and that's enough. He commands, we obey. Why mustn't Adam eat of the forbidden tree? Because God said not to eat of it. That's why. Why should Noah build an ark when there had never been any sign of rain or a flood? Because God told him to. And the Lord said, make them sit down. So make them sit down. Oh, beloved, we must sit down if we're going to be fed.
Yeah.
The activities of the flesh, it's got to stop. The activities of the disciples, flesh has got to stop. That carnal reading has got to stop. And these men and women, their carnal activities, their flesh has to stop. Sit down. Be quiet. Be still. And I tell you this, we have to be made to sit down. If we sit down, we have to be made to sit down. Ain't that right? The Lord has to make us sit down. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. We're not going to sit down until He sets us down. Ain't that right? We're not going to be quiet. We're not going to be still until He sets us down. And oh, beloved, here's the solution to so little food for so many. In verse 16, look what happens. Then He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Oh, He took that bread and He took those 2 little fishes. And the Scripture says here that looking up to heaven. Another place you know in John 17 where He lifted up His eyes to heaven. And He did this not for His sake, but for those that were there. He knew what He was going to do. He knew what His Father was going to do.
Yeah.
And He lifted up His eyes to heaven and He blessed them. This word blessed means to give thanks. You know, when I pray and you pray, we say, Lord, we bless You. We give thanks unto Your holy name. Your name is above all names. Oh, we give thanks unto You. We give praise unto You. And that's what our Lord does. Blessing God and blessing the food and giving thanks for this food. And then watch what happens. He began to break it. He began to take that bread and break it into small pieces. Started filling up baskets. He began to take that fish and break it up into small pieces. And those fellows would run out there and go among the people and let them take a basket and run over there with it. And they'd come back and he'd still stand there breaking the same bread, breaking off the fish, give them the basket, and they'd run out and start feeding. And all. And here's the thing, beloved. Well, he's standing there breaking. When he's dividing, when he's subtracting from it, every time he breaks a piece off and subtracts from a piece, it multiplied. God's way of arithmetic is altogether different. When we take something from it, it's gone. But when he takes something from it, it just starts multiplying. It starts multiplying. And oh, God. And he breaks it. And that's what he said to his disciples. He took the bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." Huh? Oh, he didn't rain down manna from heaven. He could have. But he used what was there. He used the means that was there. And what gave value to this bread? Christ did. What gave this fish and bread make them useful? Christ made them useful. How made these men useful? Christ made them useful. Huh? And he blessed and gave thanks. And then what's what happens? And gave to the disciples. He started turning around and handing them to the disciples. And to set before the multitude. Oh, beloved, listen. The disciples gave to them only what the Lord had given. They received from the Lord's hand. And just took and give what he gave them. Nothing more, nothing less. They didn't take it. And that's why, if I could learn this. Take from the Lord's hand and give you no more than what he puts in mine. That's what they did. He put bread and fish in their hands. What did they give the people? Bread and fish. No, that's why we got to get it from the Master's hand. If it comes from his hands, it'll feed somebody. It'll feed somebody. Huh? And they received from him. His hand gave to them. And watch what it says in verse 17. And they did eat. Oh, they began to eat. Wonder what them disciples thought, you know, when every time our Lord pick up a loaf of bread, break it in about 8 or 10, 12 pieces, put it in a basket, take one of them fishes and break it up into all kinds of bite-sized pieces, and start passing it around. Every time he went up there, he handed them another basket. You just can't hardly imagine what was going through their mind. Because they just got through saying, "Well, we got here's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And what are they among so many?" Huh? Oh, for all this people. They did eat. Who ate? The hungry ate. Who ate? Those that were present ate. You can't eat. Nobody that wasn't there didn't eat. If you're going to eat from the Lord's table, his fish and his bread, you're going to have to come where he puts it out. Now, ain't that right? And oh, beloved, who did eat? Those that were in need. And watch this now. I love this. And we're all filled. 5,000 men, counting the women, they were all filled. That means they got full. They were satisfied. They didn't want no more food. You better eat another. I've had all I want. Want some more bread? I've had all I want. Want some more fish? Don't need any more. And this is all these people. And they were all filled, all satisfied. And watch what happens now. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Started out with one basket and ended up with 12. J.C. Ryle says that was a basket for each one of the disciples. He provided the meal for all. He gave all of them a basket. Huh? And oh, beloved, that's what they had all been satisfied, all been filled. And our Lord Jesus Christ, not being wasteful, he took it up. And here's the thing about it. He started dividing, and the more he divided, the more he multiplied. Now, the Lord Jesus could have just given them just enough to fill them up. And that would have been it. Not a basket left. Not a piece of fish left. Not a piece of bread left. But that's not the way our Master does things. That's not the way he does things. One thing about our blessed Lord and God Almighty is he is not niggardly. He is not stingy. No, no, no. Not only does he always give enough, but in fact, he does exceedingly, abundantly above what we can even think or ask. Let me show you that, and then I'll be through. He could have gave them, look over in Ephesians 3. He could have gave them just enough. Just enough. But that's not the way he does. And if we realize, a lot of times we think, you know, we just barely making it. That's our estimation of it. But if we just stop and consider, we're doing a heap sight more than just making it, ain't we? Look here in Ephesians 3:20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now we can ask for a lot. And we can even think of a whole lot more. But whatever you could ask for or think about, according to his mighty power that worketh in us, he does abundantly and above that. Ain't that right? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think. Whatever we ask for, he always gives more. Whatever we think, he always gives more. And unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without ages. Oh, throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Oh, Savior, 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 our Savior divine, Jesus, lover of our soul, Lord, we come to give you thanks for how you always feed us. Oh, you give us bread, you give us fish, you give us food, you give us water for our souls when we're thirsty, give us light when we're in the darkness, give us peace when fears arise, give us comfort when we're troubled. Oh, bless your holy name. How gracious, how merciful, how kind, how gentle, how full of compassion, mercy, and love you are towards us, towards your people on this world. And, oh, Father, bless these dear saints of God just gathered out here this evening, those who are hurting in their bodies, strengthen their bodies, those who are hurting in their souls. Oh, Lord, be their comfort, be their strength. Oh, Father of mercies, give them of abundance of mercy. And, oh, blessed, blessed Savior, again, do for our children, grandchildren, what only you can do. We ask for these blessings, these mercies, and give you thanks for all of them. In Christ our Lord's name. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all I need. See you Sunday, God willing.